Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have you today on this end of the year, the beginning of the year, whichever way you want to look at it. On your, and not only those days, but the birthday, you know, praise the Lord. I would have never dreamed that, you know, 80 years could go by so quick.
Hallelujah!
But it did. It's gone by a while, fast. But we enjoy every minute of it, and I want you to make a pledge to the Lord. You're going to enjoy His promises.
Yeah.
I see what really gets me is I see so many people that don't believe the promises of God.
Yeah.
They don't believe He'll do what He said, and don't believe you can walk in divine health. They just don't believe. Well, let me tell you, you got to believe. That's all there is to it. You got to believe. Now, I'm going to, at the beginning of this program today, I want us to read Psalm 91 again.
Yes.
We got it in the King James Bible. I'd like to see, if you would take that King James Bible and you would read Psalm 91 every day, just one time a day, you'll find out it will change your life forever.
Amen.
I mean, the Word of God will change your life forever. So I'm going to have Cheryl. She's got her reading voice, speaking voice on.
Amen.
And in fact, I want her to read Psalm 91, the entire Psalm 91, all 16 verses. And I want you to slowly meditate on what it's saying as you listen to Psalm 91. Okay, honey, read it.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
Amen.
There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Praise the Lord.
That belongs to you. It belongs to you if you will do what He says. Everything He said, you must follow in God's footsteps. If you'll just obey His word, you will see Him do mighty things. All those things belongs to you. Isn't it? I mean, that 16 verses is chucked completely full of absolutely awesome promises. But you have to dwell in the secret place, just like He says, to those that dwell in the secret place. That don't mean that you can go out on Saturday night and go to the football game or Sunday afternoon and go to the football game or whatever and dwell in the secret place. You can't do that. You're either going to spend time with the world or time with God. And spend time with the world, then you're not going to enjoy what's going to happen. It's amazing. I think of the things that we don't do and the things that we're supposed to do. And Psalm 91 has got them all laid out. If you obey him and do what he says and be obedient to his word and walk in obedience to his word, he said that no sickness will come near your house. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
So then if that's the case, then why do we have so many sick people? Why? We're not doing what he said. I mean, the scriptures, I meditate on those scriptures. I meditate on those where the curse, causeless, cannot come to rest. The curse. Now, I will tell you that a lot of people don't understand what the curse is. In fact, I was talking with a man this past week, and let me scoot my chair out here. Where are you? When I was thinking about this man and his problems that he's had, of course, I run into these kind of people all the time, as you well know. But as I meditated on his life, I'm thinking about the troubles that he's had. And I mean, he's always broke. He don't have no money. He's always got some kind of sickness in his body somewhere. Needs to go to a doctor. Can't afford going to a doctor. So anyway, I thought, I'll just sit down with this man and talk to him a little while. And as I sat down with him, I said, why do you think that all these things happen to you? He said, well, Thurman, I'm blessed of the Lord. I said, I don't think one of us understands what blessings are. So I said, I want you to tell me what you consider to be a blessing. He said, well, this year, I've went to sleep on the job 3 times. And he said, I ran into the car in front of me and said, well, both times it wrecked, messed up their car, messed up my car, but didn't either one of us get hurt. So he said, I must be doing something right.
Wow.
I said, you don't have a clue what blessings are. I said, here's the blessing when you're driving down the road in that car and all of a sudden you've worked long, hard hours, if you happen to have to do that. I said, if you put God first and serve him and do what he says, you won't have to do that. You can work 8 hours or 10 hours and you won't have to worry about going to sleep on the job. But I said, if you're obeying God and doing what he said and you're driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning after you worked all night and you are tired, and if you do nudge off, fall off for a little sudden nap, which you're not supposed to take, I said, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, you're going to feel a little tap on your shoulder.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to say, son, wake up. Is that right?
Yes.
And so you say, oh boy, Lord, I'm glad you spoke to me. If you hadn't, I'd hit that truck and right in front of me. But because you told me to wake up, I looked up and just in time to hit the brake. I said, now, you go all year long without an accident. I said, that's a blessing.
Amen.
Not having 3 wrecks and ruining 3 cars.
6 cars.
Because nobody got seriously injured. You think you're blessed of God. I said, that's God trying to tell you, wake up.
Wake up.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
The things that we see. But I've seen so many men that have had such a, I mean, it's not just one or two men, it's a lot of them. They come to me and sit down and we talk about these kind of things and I tell them, I said, you know, you're not blessed. So you need to know that the curse of the Lord is in your house. I said, if you don't obey God, do what he says, he calls you the wicked. You are the wicked. And I said, he will not bless you if you do not obey him. You can't live in a wicked lifestyle and get anything from God. So anyway, as I talked to some men, I've talked to several. In the last few months, I've talked to several different men on prayer calls. And it's amazing the men that thinks that they're righteous, think that they are doing everything God says, but yet nothing's going right in their life. Just like Dave says, whenever if you really are righteous, and you're supposed to be righteous because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, if you know what he did, then how are you going to act? Should you act righteous?
Yes,
you should act righteous. Now then, for you, those of you that have sons and daughters, if your children, they're your children, you love them, you do anything for them, and if they go through life loving you back, being a good son or a good daughter, and they don't do anything wrong, they may make a mistake once in a while, but if they make a little mistake once in a while, they say, Dad, I'm sorry I did that. I won't do that no more. Those children will be blessed. They don't get a spanking every day. I mean, isn't it amazing how all that works? That the curses and the blessings. And so many of these men that I've dealt with, in other words, one of the areas that men are so hooked up with, nearly every young man wants to be a millionaire when he's 35. Is that true? I mean, not to all of them, but a big majority of the people, especially men, they want to do something, they want to get rich, they want to have all the money in the world, they want to live the wild lifestyle, whatever. They go out here and get to work, and I think about the number of men that I've known that have worked, I mean worked, and made a lot of money. Some of them made $1 million. I mean, a lot of money. And then something happens to them, and now they got the world by the tail. They got all the money they could ever want, and now you're going to be just like the one in the book of Luke. You're going to tear down your houses and build bigger houses. You're going to tear down your barns and build bigger barns. Is that right? Uh-huh. We've heard of a guy like that in the Bible, in the book of Luke, didn't we? I mean, he is well off. I mean, Lord, wow, self, look at me. Look at me. I got money to burn. I got all kinds of stuff. I can have anything I want. But I don't have enough room to store everything, so I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to tear down some of my houses or some of my barns, and I'm going to build me bigger ones. I am going to be blessed. I'm going to do things like I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so they tear down his houses and start building new ones. And the Lord had a message for the guy.
But tonight.
What did he call him?
But tonight you
fool. You fool. Tonight your soul is going to be required of you. In other words, you're fixing to die. Now, is everybody going to die somewhere down the road? What is really something, you can see a 24-year-old, like my daughter was, have no idea. Her and her mother, whenever I think about that morning, you have no idea what's going on in the life of a person. I didn't know until after my daughter was killed in the car wreck that her and her husband had a knockdown drag out before they left that morning. He wasn't loving his wife. So when people say, look at this, you know, when you see people, and whether it be yourself, you or me, it makes no difference. On this earth, if you're not careful, you will fall to the sins of the world. And you will pay for those. Those are costly. When I look at all these pictures of all these little children out here on the wall, when I look at those children, every one of those children had a mother or a father that did something wrong, although they were Christians, but they'd done something wrong, and before they could repent, when you fall from grace, that's the thing. When you fall from grace, for God's sakes, repent immediately. Immediately. Don't drag it on, because it may open a door to the devil. And even if you go to bed angry, or get up in the morning and you have a problem with your mate, and you go to bed angry, when you're angry, you've opened a door to the demonic world. And they love to kill you. They love to steal, kill, and to destroy. When I think about the things that Satan and his hosts do, when I look at the Word of God and I look at the promises to him that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and him that's willing to say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my strength, he's my God, in him do I trust. If you will walk with him and do what he says, he promises to bless everything you put your hands to. He said in Psalm 91 there that how much evil will come to your house? None. I mean, I like that, don't you? I would like to say that in John, 1 John 1:9, where 1 John 1:9 says, "My true children do not sin." You know, I read that a lot of times in my life, thinking, "Wow, my true children do not sin." But you stop and think a minute. How many of us sin? All of us. All of us sin. You can't go without sinning. You really can't go without sinning. So when I stop and think about what we can do. Wow. If you obey me and do what I say, my true children, 1 John 1:9, 1 John 5:18 says, my true children. Now, are you a true child of God? If you are, then you're not supposed to be a sinner. If you're not supposed to be a sinner, you're supposed to act like you're saved. Is that true? So if you act like you're saved, you won't go out and sin. If you do make a mistake and you do sin, then the first thing you will do, you will say, Lord, I'm sorry I made that mistake. I know I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So now I'm going to act like it. So I'm going to repent of my sin. Because you said in 1 John 1:9 that my true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil. 1 John 5:18. What did I say?
1 John 5:18.
Yeah, what did I say?
1 John 1:9.
Oh, okay. 1 John 5:18. Okay, yeah. 1 John 5:18. My true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil, and therefore the evil one cannot touch you.
That's right. Amen.
So if you're obeying him and walking in love and doing what he says, and you're doing exactly what God says, the evil one, he would love to take you out. Mm-hmm. But without legal right, he can't take you out. So When you see sickness or disease or car wrecks or anything else come upon you and your family, you better check out your life, because the devil cannot attack you unless he has legal right. Is that what that scripture says? That Psalm 91 is an awesome little book. Only 16 verses, but it's powerful. jam-packed with power. No evil shall befall you. It tells you exactly what you need to do and how you need to walk. And if you do it, no evil shall befall you. Now then, I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 3. I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and I want Cheryl to read a couple of verses, two or three verses at a time in Proverbs chapter 3. Read that, honey. Proverbs, start with verse 1.
My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Okay, now hold it a second. What did that just say? If you obey him and do what he says, what did he say, Barry?
Long life.
With long life? Does anybody in here like to have long life?
Yes.
Oh, nobody held up their hands. So I guess nobody wants it. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know lots of you held up your hands. But just think what he said. If we obey him and do what he says, with what? I don't know about you, but I like to think about having a long life. You know, in other words, when you're young, like some people, you know, they're 25, 30 years old. I had a girl one time come up to me and want me to pray for her for her husband. She said, this is several years ago. She said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me a husband. I'm going to wind up being an old maid. I just know I'm going to be an old maid. I said, well, you're a beautiful young woman and you don't look very old. How old are you? She said, oh, I couldn't tell you how old I am. I'm old. I said, okay. I said, I want to know what I'm praying for here. So I said, I want you to just kind of tell me, lean over my ear, whisper to me how old you really are. I said, you don't look very old. She leaned over and she said, Pastor, I am so old. I said, well, tell me. She said, I'm 30. I said, now wait a minute. If you're 30 years old and you think that's old, we got a problem here, right? I got a real problem. Isn't that amazing? You know, if you start telling somebody, well, now then, you know, if you feel like that's old and you're 30, then maybe you better get ready to die, because the scripture says you're going to die as a young, as an old person. So I said, if you're 30 and you think you're old, well, maybe it's time to go home. And then all of a sudden they look at it in a different light. I don't want to die at 30. I'm too. In fact, we had a man that had a heart attack, and some of the first words he said after he recovered, I'm only 50. I'm too young to have a heart attack. Did you know that if you're having a heart attack at 50, you better stop and check? Because would you consider that the curse, a heart attack would be a curse? If a heart attack's a curse and you've had one at 50, you better check out, something is wrong with your life. Is that right? Should you be having a heart attack at 50?
No.
You shouldn't be having a heart attack at 70.
No, not at all.
It should not be at all. You should not have a heart attack at all. So you need to realize what's going on. And if you're having a, in fact, I think this is why God does this. I think this is why he puts things on us. I call it a wake-up call. I'm putting a heart attack on you because you're not doing what I tell you to do. You are not producing fruit for the kingdom of God. Did he say produce fruit for the kingdom?
Yes.
Do you know, if God said in his word, every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off.
Cast it in the fire.
In other words,
get burned.
Yeah, you get burned. But just think, if you're having a problem of some kind, you need to stop and think, okay, Lord, if I'm having a problem, and he said, I'll satisfy you with long life, and you happen to be around 100 or 110 or something like that, maybe it's just time for you to go to the house.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah,
yeah, because I've seen and prayed with lots of people that by the time they get to be 75 or 80 years old, you know, I've had lots of people say, well, I'm tired, I'm wore out, I'm through, I want to go home. Mm-hmm. In fact, my own dad, my dad told me when I went down to see him on a weekend, and I talked to him and everything, and when I got ready to go, he wasn't feeling very good. He was feeling really pretty rotten. I said, well, Dad, I'm going to come back next week to see you again. He said, well, I won't be here next week. I'm going home. I said, Dad, you are home. He said, no. I'm talking about going home to be with the Lord. He said, me and the Lord had a little talk this last week, and he said, I told him I'm tired of living. I don't want to live here no more. And I said, well, Dad, he said, I'm 79. He said, I've had a good life. He said, I've had lots of fun with you and the mom and the kids and all the stuff and your grandbabies. And he said, I've really had a good life, and I have enjoyed living, but he said, I'm tired of messing with all this. I want to go home. So he said, this week, me and the Lord had a little talk, and I told him I wanted to go home, so he told me he'd take me home this week. I said, Dad, you can't know that for sure. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I had a talk with the Lord. He said, well, I'm through. So I thought, well, Dad must be getting a little senile here. Sometimes the kids say that about their dads, right? So he couldn't possibly know that. So I left and went home. And Wednesday night, I remember when I drove up to the church, Lakeland Baptist Church, Wednesday afternoon, we had church on Wednesday there. Somebody came across the street from the office and said, Thurman, somebody just called from your home and said that your dad just passed away. 79 years old, right in the middle of his life. 79. Now, was he ready to go?
He was.
Obviously he was.
Yeah, he was.
And the Lord just took him out. I mean, just... But 79 or 80 may not be old to you. I'm not quite through living yet, Lord. You know, I mean, Lord, I had so much fun flying. Yesterday, little John was telling me about flying a Cessna 182 and all that stuff, and I thought, Lord, you just restore my eyes. I've been asking and asking about restoring my eyes and everything working like it's supposed to. And then I could just think, you know, if I had my eyes were 20/10, where I could see perfect.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
And the Lord would do something to bless me with somebody wanting to give me a couple of $1 million.
Amen.
I'd go buy me a small jet.
Amen.
And I'd fly around this country and tell people how good God is.
Amen. I agree.
And wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Lord, as long as I feel good and I got you behind me, I don't have a problem. You know, so one of the things you notice as you get old, you know, if you still feel good, I mean, I was talking to Tony there and Mary a while ago. They've been up north to see his mother. I believe your mother was 96?
93.
93? She's 93. And her good friend was how old?
Her sister was 90.
Oh, her sister was 90. So there's a 93-year-old and a 90-year-old woman that are enjoying living and are just healthy and happy as they can be. They're just having all kinds of fun, aren't they, Tony?
That's right.
Good health. So they're not ready to leave yet. So those girls with that attitude, there ain't no telling how long they may live. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you obey God and do what he says, and he'll bless your socks off. He'll keep you healthy. I mean, think of all the things he said do. If you love him and serve him and do what he says, he promises there to keep you healthy. Now then, I don't know about you, but I like those promises. I really do like those promises. I think, honey, read those promises one more time there.
Start back at one.
Yeah. And Where were we? I forgot.
My son. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law.
There you go.
Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Wow. Now, is that a great promise?
Yes.
Peace, long life, health, forget not what his law. Has he got a rule book?
Yes, he does.
If he likes something, in other words, if I had a grandson, which I do have, that loves ice cream. I wonder where he got that. Granddad loves ice cream too. So I keep in my freezer in there ice cream. Tim, my son, he said, Dad, the way Preston will always remember you as you're the granddad that always had ice cream in the freezer. Because he loves ice cream, so he comes over and gets him a big bowl of it real often. And I'm glad I can bless him with that. Now then, as a good boy doing good things, I'm going to try my best. Sharon, she said, what kind of ice cream you want me to get? I said, just get several different kinds. Just, you know, I want to make sure they got everything they like. So if he's a good boy and I put that ice cream in that box, I love it when he comes over and gets him a bowl of ice cream. My ice cream bandits. But I love blessing those kids. Now then, God, do you think God loves blessing you, his children?
Yes, he does.
Yes, and he knows what you like because he put that desire in you. And if he knows what you like, he'll always, just like that scripture. Cheryl, just read it one more time, honey. Read that scripture that you just read about long life and all that stuff.
For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Wow. Forget not my law. And look at those things. Just think. The things that she just read about is what the world's looking for. They want long life and peace and prosperity, and they're trying to do everything in the world, everything in the world, to keep people healthy and out of a hospital if possible. Another reason, I'll give you an example. A reason why I hate going to a hospital. I've only had to do this twice in my life. One of them just recently when I had that twisted hernia. So I went to, it hurt so bad, I finally just said, hey, I can't stand it. I guess I could if I'd had to, if I'd have been in Job's case and there'd been no doctors, I couldn't have done anything else. But I had a doctor down the street down there, a hospital, so I went down there and they gave me some stuff and they fixed my intestine and took away my pain. But the thing that I like about Jesus don't never charge you to do that. But those hospitals, they definitely charge you. And this last week, after paying all the bills and everything, with the hospital paying the bills for the doctors, the anesthesiologists, everybody paid up, even asked the question, I said, now, am I paid up? Yes, Mr. Scrivener, you've paid everything. You don't owe anybody anything. I said, okay, very good. This week, I get a bill from the hospital up here for $1,008 for some kind of radiation. I said, I thought I was paid up.
You already paid that.
Well, Cheryl says I already paid that. But see, they're billing me again.
Yeah, but I paid it that night. It's paid.
But you see what I mean?
Yes.
It seems like if you ever get your name in that hospital deal, somewhere they come along and they send you a new bill. And you never get through paying. That's why I hate to go to the hospital, because they seem to always charge you more and more and more and more. I know the first time I had a hernia surgery over in Louisville, that's been 35, 40 years ago at least. I asked that doctor what that was going to cost me to do it. He told me, and I said, now, is this a total cost? He said, this is a total cost. This is turnkey. This is what this will cost you to get this thing fixed and out of here. He said, unless you have to spend the night in the hospital. And of course, I told him I wasn't going to spend the night in the hospital. I was a man of faith, and I was going to walk without pain and sickness, and I was going to have no problem with this. So you could just mark me down. Whenever I pay that, I'm done. Okay? He lied. I mean, he really did lie, because after I found out what I owed, and I paid him everything, about 6 or 8 weeks later, they come back in there and I owed him another $3,500. I said, holy cow, that's unbelievable, $3,500. And they kept trying to tell me what it was for. I said, but I paid that up front. As they went through and through and through those bills, they finally figured out that most of everything that they were billing me for was paid in the first one. It was just due to clerical errors. When you hit me with $3,500, that ain't a clerical error. Damn. I don't like to be charged. That's why I love to go to Jesus. Sometimes you have to wait a little while. In fact, when you ask him to do something for you, I want us to go to Luke 11, and I want to read the first few verses in Luke 11. And I want you to see what God says he will do, and how to get something done. We obviously, in other words, prayer works, does it not?
Yes.
Sometimes we pray and ask for one thing, and then we never ask no more. And some people say, well, don't ask more than once. If you do, you're asking out of faith. Well, that may be true. But like I told a girl the other day, she was having all kinds of problems, and I told her, I said, honey, have you prayed several times? She said, yes, but I haven't prayed enough, I guess, because it hasn't happened yet. I said, well, just keep on praying. I said, don't ever quit, because I said, if you don't quit, I said, Luke 11 has your answer. Now I want Cheryl to read, starting with verse 1, what it says about how to get your prayer answered.
And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.
Okay, read on.
And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Okay, now I want to stop you just a second here, and I want you to realize so many people pray to Jesus, not to the Father. And you don't get your prayer answered. You're not supposed to pray to Jesus. You're supposed to pray to the Father in his name. That's the way you do it. You pray to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Or you can take the name of Jesus and you can use it as a son of God. You can use the name of Jesus on this earth and demand and command sickness and disease leave in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You have dominion and authority using the name of Jesus. But don't pray, dear Jesus. I don't believe you'll get your prayer answered praying, dear Jesus. That's just the way I read it. But I think you need to pray, Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the name of the Father, in Jesus' name. So anyway, I told her to go ahead and see what now it says next.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Okay, read it out.
And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves.
Wait a minute. You got a friend that come in next door and you ain't got nothing? Well, why don't you go down to the 7-Eleven and get something? They didn't have 7-Elevens, did they?
No.
We are so blessed today. You know, if I don't care what time somebody comes into my house. If somebody didn't get here till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, I've always got something that we could heat up or warm up, do we not?
Yes.
We got something, but back in this day, they didn't have this stuff. They have no way to go, so he tells him, okay, let's see what he said, what he tells that neighbor.
For a friend of mine and his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity.
His persistence. In other words, he's not going to give up. He's going to say, I got a friend over here, and he's hungry. And I can't turn him away. He's got to have something to eat. So I know you got extra food in there. I saw it when I was at your house earlier tonight. So I want you to get up and get me 3 loaves of bread and give it to my friends. I'm not giving up. I know you got it. And wow.
Sounds like a woman.
Praise the Lord. It's spoken by a woman. So.
That's right.
She knows how to get it done, doesn't she?
Knows
how to get that. Okay, read on, honey.
So, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth.
Praise the Lord.
And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone.
How many?
Everyone.
In other words, you stay on his doorstep. If you don't get your answer the first time around, come back around the second time and say, Lord, I've got to have some help. I've got to have you to answer this prayer. Lord, I got this problem. I think that's probably where we really lose it, when the Lord puts us to the test. We pray maybe one time, or maybe you don't pray right. Or we pray and say, Lord, if it be your will. And so we don't get a prayer.
No.
I think about this little girl the other night that Cheryl and I prayed for. She's having trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
She's got all kinds of problems. After Cheryl got through reading me everything, I told her, I said, that girl's got a demon.
Yeah.
She's living under a curse, and that demon's come in. I mean, she sleep just a few minutes and she wake up in the middle of the night. Could not sleep through the night, no way. Tormented. I said, she's just got a demon. That's all there is to it. So I said, I'm going to remit her sins. Now, when I remitted her sins, how many of her sins are forgiven?
All
of them. I remitted all of them. Then I drove those devils out in the name of Jesus, command those saints to leave and go away and not come back. Now, Lord, I ask you to set that girl free. Thank you. It's done. I've commanded in the name of Jesus that those devils leave. And this girl is free, and she's set free in Jesus' name. And you devils will not come back anymore. Do you hear me? In Jesus' name, I am a son of God. I have been given complete power and all authority over you in the name of Jesus. And you have to be subject to me because Luke 10:19-20 says so.
Yes.
Now come out and do not come back. Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple nights later, we get another email back. She said, Pastor Turner, I slept good that night. And she said, I have slept perfect every night since then.
Amen.
How much power and authority do you have in the name of Jesus?
Oh.
And them devils know it. But they'll do everything they can to get you off the side and get you out of where you are not getting anything done for the kingdom. But if you've been in that book and you know that this book is true,
yes,
and all these promises belong to you, the benefits, Cheryl's reading the benefit package right here to us right now.
Yes.
Go back over there to Proverbs chapter 3. And where you left off, let's read the rest of that. Proverbs chapter 3, see what it says.
Proverbs
3? Yeah, Proverbs
3,
yeah.
22?
What,
huh? You were in Proverbs 3:1, right?
No, not at 3:1. We were up to about
22.
Oh, 22. I thought it was 3:3.
Proverbs 3:3.
Yep.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Help me, Lord.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Think a second. One of the areas that so many people don't get their prayers answered is because they don't give anything to the Lord. Now, under the old covenant, we were supposed to give the Lord, under the covenant that he made, under Malachi 3, the covenant that he made to us under bulls and goats, we were commanded in the name of the Lord, we were commanded to give how much money to the Lord?
A tithe.
They were to give a tithe. Now this is under the blood of bulls and goats. You were commanded, and he said, if you don't give me the first tenth of all your increase, he said, I will curse you with a curse. Is that what he said?
A double whammy.
Yeah. In other words, if you don't give me what belongs to me, all of it's mine, but I require to get the first 10%, and I'll let you keep 90. If you want to give me a little more or something, that's okay. But the first 10% of all of your increase goes into my church. That's where it's supposed to go. People have argued for years that we don't have to give anything under grace, but you don't have to. It won't keep you from going to heaven, but it certainly will keep you from being blessed. And just think, if God don't bless you, who's going to bless you? The devil, he'll bless you, all right. He loves to bless you. Let me tell you something. A man told me years ago, and I've never forgot this. He said, if you don't tithe, Thurman, and give God the first 10% of all your increase, he said, I guarantee the Lord will open the door to the fowler, and he will come in, and he'll get your tithe. But the only problem is he won't stop at a tithe. If he gets legal right to your finances, he said, he will strip you to the bone. So he said, you know, if you don't want to give God at the church, then get ready to give it at, and he named off all kinds of places. You know, the washing machine place, the automotive shop. You know, he said, your car is going to break down real often. He said, you'll start paying attention. You'll see somebody bought a new washing machine for their wife, and it had a 3-year warranty on it, and it had 3 years and 1 month, and it broke. So it's just the way it is. He said, if you don't do it God's way, he said, he will get it. So when I stop and think about some of the young men that I know now that have made lots of money, some have made lots of money, and just about the time they think they've got the world by the tail, like the rich guy, I'm going to tear down my old barns and build me some new ones. I'm going to tear down my houses and build bigger ones. And then all of a sudden, what did you say he's going to give the Lord in there? Oh, I don't have to tithe. I don't have to give God anything. Under grace, I'm okay. Okay. Try that and see how it works for you. And guess what will happen? The Lord will say to you, just like he told that young man, he said, you fool, this night, this day, your soul, in other words, you're not only going to cost you, it's going to be deadly. Then who's going to get the money?
Everybody else.
Oh, do you know that all of a sudden, everything you worked for and fought for, when it comes to that day, when it's time to go home, all of a sudden, everything takes on a whole new meaning. I was telling Tony there a while ago, I said, they've been up on vacation to see his mother. I said, I've been reading the book of Ecclesiastes lately. I said, that thing is really depressing. It is depressing. If you don't want to be depressed, don't read it. But it also says something in there that I like. You need to go to funerals more often than you do parties. Because if you're not careful, you start going to too many parties, you'll forget that there's going to be a funeral someday. One of them's going to be yours. Isn't that amazing? Stop going to parties. Some of the things that's in the Bible, people say, that's not in the Bible. Oh, yeah, it is, too.
Yeah, it is.
I guarantee it's in there. Wow. And I see people, all kinds of young men, and that scripture says, and the Lord will let the young people make a lot of money, and then he'll put sickness on them and take away their money so they won't be able to enjoy it. Because they did not obey the Lord. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know, why do we not even think about those things? I'm like that guy that was on Daystar the other night. He was talking about Romans. Miss Jackie, she happened to watch it. And I think he was a young guy in his 30s and said, all of a sudden the Lord is beginning to reveal to him that we talk a whole lot about his goodness, but we don't talk about his severity. And he said, what now? What it was, Ms. Jackie?
Romans 11:22.
Yeah, 11.
Oh, that was Jim Baker's show.
It was Jim Baker's show. Okay. But anyway, you need to pay attention because there is a goodness of God, and He is good. I mean, He is really good. And when you do things to please Him, He's really good. I mean, He is so good, I just can hardly stand it. I love the blessings of God. In fact, that man that I was talking to here only a few weeks ago, we were talking about what happens to us when we obey God. Now, this boy, he's broke. He ain't got no money. He's wrecked 3 cars in the last year. And he has trouble getting enough to eat. Everything's going wrong and he's having problems. He rented a house. I forget how much money he paid on it. But anyway, he still owes a whole lot more than he can afford on just a small house, and the house needs lots of things done to it. I told him, I said, son, if you had been serving the Lord and putting Him first, you'd been going to church and tithing, I said, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. He said, well, but Thurman, you don't know that. I said, yes, I do. I know it because I said, I look at my own life. I read that book many times. I studied that book. I obeyed that book. I done what that book said. I walked in love with people. I give to the poor and the needy. I give all those things. And I said, you see this property that you're sitting on the night we were talking? He said, yeah. I said, that house over there, there's never been a note on that house. I built that house debt free. Without owing a nickel. I said, everything, this building, this church, we built it debt free. There's never been a penny borrowed on this place except the initial 100 acres. When I bought the initial 100 acres, I had to finance part of that. The world said I couldn't pay it off quicker than 30 years, but I made a fool out of them. I paid it off in 9 years I paid it off. Back in those days, I was an engineer. I was working. I was out there. I would get up in the morning and fly to Chicago to get something done. When everybody else is sleeping, I'm working. But when you, if you obey God, do what He says. If we read those scriptures, He'll satisfy us with long life. He'll satisfy us with prosperity. He'll take care of us. What is it we don't understand about that? And the Lord says there in His Word that a wise man will leave an inheritance for his children's children. So I believe with all my heart, when I do go home to be with the Lord, whenever that is, I hope it's not anytime soon. But when I do, I'm going to leave my son all this property paid for. Ain't that something?
Amen.
It didn't, not a penny owed on it. Not a penny owed on nothing. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that serving God pays big time.
Amen.
If you don't know that, you need to get in this book and study this book and do what it says. Is God a respecter of persons?
No.
Whatever you sow, that will you also reap, He said. Praise the Lord. I love serving God. I love men that serve God. I love to be around men that serve God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it says a wise man encompasses himself with wise men. I love being around wise men. Isn't that something? Wow. Okay. What do we got left here in Proverbs 3?
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Depart from evil.
It's,
boy, I can't overemphasize that enough. Depart from evil. I mean, get rid of evil. If it even looks evil, get rid of it. Yeah, I told a lady here a while back, her and this boy had moved into the house together. And when I saw her, I said, ma'am, you're a Christian. She said, well, yes, I am. I said, you're living with a man that you're not married to. She said, oh, no, Thurman, I'm not living with him. I said, he just needed a place to live. So I'm letting him live with me. I said, no, that even looks evil to me. When I see that, you got a man living in your house that you ain't married to. I said, the way most people think, if you got a man and a woman in a house, they're cohabitating together. And I said, that's wrong. She said, but we're not having sex. I said, but avoid yourself of evil.
Yeah.
I said, don't even make it. I said, nobody, when that, you walk behind that door, nobody knows what goes on behind that door. And I said, if I walk up to that and I see you and him in there together, especially if you opened the door and I walked in there and you both are in there, I said, I believe you're living together and I believe you're living together in sin. I said, of course, you can't fool God. He knows exactly what he's doing, what you're doing. But I said, he clearly says to avoid even the appearance of evil. Leave evil. Get away from it, right? Amen. Next, read on, honey.
It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Wow. Healthy and so far, if you obey God, do you see anything you like on there?
Oh.
I like all of it. Is there anything? What's else?
Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Uh-oh.
With the first fruits of all thine increase.
In other words, the first fruits of all your increase. What does that mean? The first fruits of all your increase. In other words, if you move into a place and start a job or a business, if you're working for somebody else, when they pay you, the first 10% of everything they pay you goes to who?
The Lord.
The Lord. His church. Somewhere in His church. You don't give it here or there. You give it to the church. That's the first 10%. Now then, just like us here with all these kids for Christmas, if you want to do it God's way, you give your tithe to the church and then you give your gifts to the orphanage. But some people that don't know that, they will take and take that money that goes to the Lord, and they'll give it to the orphanage. They'll give it to the church, but it goes to the orphans. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. The church is supposed to get the first 10% of all your increase. If you give the church the first 10% of all your increase, what did God say he would do? What shall we read again? What did he say? Read it.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase.
And what did he say would be the benefits?
So yeah. Shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Do you like those benefits? So that means if you don't do that, then you don't get that. That's a benefit I like. So if I give him the first 10% of all my increase, the first fruits of all my increase, so I'm working somewhere and I make $500 a week. I take $50, the first $50, and I take it and give it to the church. I don't pay all my other bills, and if I got anything left, then I put it in here. No. It won't work for you. You're cheating yourself. But if you'll take the first fruits, the first 10% of whatever God gives you, and you give it to the church, give it to the Lord, and then you obey him in every way, do what he says. He says that your barns will be full. Is that what he said?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not half full. Did you hear what he said? Your barns would be full and overflowing.
Yeah.
Now, is that what you want?
Yeah.
So if that's what you want, you got to do what he said to make it come to pass. Isn't that amazing? I'll read the next verse, maybe another. I like those. Those are good.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth.
Uh-oh. If you're not being chastened at all, that must mean he don't love you. Maybe you're not his child. I don't know about you. I remember Dave one time. We were doing something, and Dave got kind of whipped upon pretty quick for doing something. I don't remember what it was now, but his reply was, "Thank you, Lord. I know you still love me. I thank you, Lord, because I know you still love me because you're chastening me as a son. I know you chasten your sons. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Okay, honey.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding.
Wow. Happy is the man that gets wisdom, gets understanding. Do not leave home without understanding. And so many people, I know that Dave walking, and myself, several times in the last few months, we've had something that went wrong and we needed help. In fact, one of the things the other day, Dave, had these little things that hold these little modules together. And it's a little plastic thing, and it's not very big. But he was working, putting a crib together, and he's clipping these things in here. And he got everything done, and then he needed to put one together in another room, and he needed one more clip. And he looked everywhere for that clip, and he could not find it. He knew he had it just a few minutes ago. I bet you he spent a half hour to an hour looking for that clip. And then it finally come to that. It's time to what? Why do we do this? I'm guilty. Dave's guilty. I know some of y'all are guilty. So he said, Thurman, it's time to pray. I can't find that thing. I have exhausted my means, so I've got to find it. So he said, Lord, show me where that clip's at, and I thank you for finding the clip for me in Jesus' name. He went back in there where he had just got to looking, and when he looked down like that, something flickered in his eye, and he looked down, and it was in his top shirt pocket. It took him a whole minute, half a minute, to find it after he prayed. Have you ever done that?
Yes,
I have. Lord, forgive us for being so dense. if we would only call on him quicker. I think that wisdom and understanding we ought to start out with in the morning when we wake up. Lord,
amen.
What are we going to do today?
Yeah.
Lord, I'm your son. What do you want to do today? I'm here. I'm available. Whatever you've got on your mind, I'm ready, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then let him go use you for his glory.
Yeah.
And he will do it. You will enjoy it. Okay, so praise the Lord. Amen. What time is it, hon?
4:12.
Okay. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then y'all go have a good week this week and do something good for Jesus this week. And remember, the first thing you do is prayer, is pray. And if you don't get it done the first time you pray, pray again. How many times can you pray? Just continuously. Keep on praying. Keep on knocking.
What, honey?
What?
Will you pray for Christy?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure we will. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Christy a lot here. We're going to continue to pray for that girl.
Yes.
That you'll watch over that girl. You'll protect her. Thank you, Lord, that we have remitted all of their sins, hers and Eric's and mine and Cheryl's and everybody that's involved.
Yes.
We want our prayers to be answered. So we thank you, Lord, for forgiving us all. We thank you for washing us in the blood. We thank you for being the mighty King. Thank you for being the mighty God that you are. And thank you, Lord, for meeting every need that she will have from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet and make everything in her body work perfect as she is being healed by the power of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen.